kisses. From the need to feel connected to voices strong and uncollected, from island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather. United we inspire. Pacifica Wire. From the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. The same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style, Pacifica Wire. Lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. PacificaWire.com.
It is Planet FM 104.6. That is the Jets, a.k.a. the Wolfgang family from the Kingdom of Tonga. And that was a big hit back in the 80s. Crush on You. Very celebrated Tongan artist there from the United States. Good to have your company here. Pacifica Wire, PW Live. We're here with you this afternoon. And if you are here in Auckland, I hope you're keeping warm and you didn't get caught out in that wet weather that we're having. It's a little bit wet, and we're here in the studio with another one of our team members, Alyssa Mbalindroka-Droka Johnson. How are you, Alyssa?
It is terrible. But
oh, it does, isn't it?
But being inside is, yeah, so much better.
It is. How was your Saturday? Just to put you on the spot.
Just pretty relaxed one. I think the weather is probably, well, I hoped that the weather would deter a lot of people from getting off the roads.
It didn't.
It has not, so, yeah.
The weekend is now like a weekday. The week. It really is. And, you know, I didn't break any rules to get here. I just want that known on the record, but I'm quite proud of myself, from the laundromat to here. Keeping it real, keeping it real. Now, later on, we're going to play an oldie but a goodie of one of our podcasts from season two.
Nice.
With Wanda Jeremiah Allen, so we'll tell you more about that. But, Issa, just to put you on the spot again, we're trying something new here with Pacifica Wire, PW Live, and you're the engine alongside Gary on the social media space. So if you can just remind people where they can go to listen to our other podcasts or tune in.
Yeah, so we're on YouTube, Pacifica Wire. You can search us up on YouTube, but we also have our own website, so that's pacificawire.com. And we're also on Spotify, so yeah. Multiple places where you can listen to our previous podcast episodes.
And thank you, Issa. And yes, Issa is the one who's behind doing all that magic, that social media that you've already heard me talk about that I have no idea about, but we'll save that for another day. But let's get back into a song as we prepare to go back in time listening with Wanda Jeremiah Allen right here. Here's a bit of music. Here's an oldie but a goodie. Now this, Alyssa, is the original Paulina that Josh Tatofi remade.
Yes.
But this is the original, Court Brown.
Oh.
For your listening pleasure, right here. Planet FM 104.6, PW Live.
So much more. Your strength and beauty, I can see in your eyes. I lose sight of my world. Baby, love, no words can hold what's truly on my mind. Just feel the beat of my heart, and you know what I mean. You're my Paulina. You're so beautiful. God knows I love you. You know, lately, all I think about is holding you closely and never leaving your side. I'll keep you warm. Time passes by and still you're on my mind. I can't imagine living my life without you, girl. The special moment you and I can only share will always keep us together and never apart. You're my Paulina. You're so beautiful. God knows I love you. Breath away, we were in love. breath away, cooling
up. Planet FM 104.6. You're on PW Live there. That was Cord Brown and Poor Lena, an oldie but a goodie. It's 2 minutes past five. Good afternoon. It's great to be here with you. We're with you for about an hour, and we're all about Pacifica Wire. As Alyssa said earlier, you can find us on pacificawire.com, and we're all about connecting our voices. And in the last few weeks, we've been able to connect with some of our wonderful Pacifica people out there. Doing some amazing things, and this lady is no exception. Now, in this is going back a bit, isn't it, Issa? I think it was season three in 2022. Now, we had the pleasure of speaking with this wonderful, amazing academic, Wanda Yuramia Allen. Now, back then she was uncovering history of Samoan literature with a newspaper. We call that in Samoa, newspaper, Ole Sulu Samoa. Went back years. I think first published back in the 1800s. And I think Wanda was doing a lot of research, and she continues to. But she's also got something happening, hasn't she, Alyssa?
Yeah, so next Friday in Dunedin, Wanda will be talking about her PhD alongside another graduating PhD student, Mere Tauto, who's of Rotuman descent. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. And it's very much, this is Wanda's thing. She spent some time in Cambridge. History, literature, this is her thing. And you'll find her also, I think she does a lot of work in the museum here, the Auckland War Memorial Museum as well.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So when is that symposium again, sir?
So that's this Friday, next Friday, the 22nd of August, from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At the Richardson South Tower, Level 3, Room 10, in Dunedin.
Perfect. And we'll repeat that for you after we listen to the podcast with Wanda. Thanks for that, Alyssa. So we'll repeat those, as I said, those details after the podcast. Stay tuned and enjoy. This is Wanda Yuramia Allen.
In this episode, we had the privilege of speaking to Samoan academic and researcher Wanda Yuramia Allen. Wanda is a PhD candidate in the Pacific and Indigenous Studies program at the University of Waikato. We had a really interesting conversation with Wanda as she talks to us about her research tracing the intergenerational intellectual ngafa, or lineage, of Indigenous Samoan writing of the early 20th century in the former London Missionary Society newspaper, Ole Sulu Samoa. The key strand of her work investigates the ideological, cultural, and gendered tensions inherent in the writing. She talks about the untold stories, the unsung heroes of this amazing part of Samoan Pacific history. So join us as Wanda takes us down her path. Ole Sulu Samoa.
Malo sufu mo malangin ma ya oe leuso aya amesifol au fa funga mubuona na siru inga pratail to ma ono le ne yava no le au maua ya fa duoina lo faftai ya I veli silion o le flom lo fanua nei kirkido a te roa e ma mana finua o tai nui wam fai e ona unfo yele ne fanua sa ya Yeah, fatalo fatfoli malo pa ima man malo sa molo fa fonga mai. Thank you, Gladys. Really nice to be here. Fatite lava.
So good to see you and talk to you. And first off, we start. How are you and your family during this pandemic world that we're living in? I understand you've got COVID in the house.
Yes. I think like many other ainga, we're certainly going through our struggles with COVID. So far, so good. We thank the Lord for the many blessings that we've had and the love of family and fellowships that enabled us to support and love one another. So the one child is all right so far. So touch wood. And she's enjoying not having to do her daily fiel. So good on that front.
Yeah. Fiels, yeah. I'm with her on that. Wanda, like I said, thank you for this opportunity. Really excited to hear about the work that you are undertaking, in particular, Ole Sulu o Samoa. Can you take us on that journey? Where did it all begin for you in terms of research?
Yeah, so Ole Sulu Samoa, so I'll give you a little bit of background about the paper itself. Ole Sulu Samoa, which is translated to be the Torch of Samoa, it's a reflection of the Enlightenment period in which the Christians, the Balangi missionaries brought the gospel to Samoa, and in 1830 they landed in Sapali, Samoa, and then 9 years later, about 1839, they installed what was a rudimentary press, and they started this newspaper, you know, Ole Sulu Samoa. So it started in 1839, and believe it or not, it's still in publication today, which makes it possibly the longest running and possibly the widest circulation too of this paper of the 19th and 20th century. And it's in the Rangana Samoa. So it's the first home of our grassroots reporters, our ethnographers, our biographers, all writing in the Rangana Samoa. And so this is why we don't hear about these stories, because history has always privileged the stories of Balangi's representation of us. Yet we don't tend to recognize or value or even see this incredible wealth of writing that's been produced by our own people since 1839. And so my interest has always been centering our voices, our stories, our philosophical paradigms to make sense of us and our place and our legacies and our place in the world today. It's Ole Sulu Samoa is still in publication. Like I said, it's produced by the London Missionary Society. My experience of it really was as a paper delivery person as a child. As a child of whaifiao, we were required to take the food to the elderly people. And what I noticed when I was a kid doing this was they were more interested in the paper, you know, aside from the whaaloalo from the whaifiao, they were more really interested in this incredible newspaper, which I never really paid much attention to. And I had, as a child growing up in Mālua Theological College, where the old dilapidated print house was my favourite place to hang out because no one ever went there. And so I guess as a child, I was really fascinated with this massive building, this concrete dilapidated building called the Mālua Print House. And also, as an adult, made the links about the papers and the texts that were actually produced from that favourite childhood place of mine. So that's what's really drawn me to this newspaper. And I had the opportunity to be part of this incredible project that was led by Professor Alistair Punasamavo as part of a Marsden project, Writing the New World, Indigenous Texts, 1900 to 1975. And she asked me, What would you like to do? What's the periodical that you'd like to investigate? So I really seized the opportunity to say, okay, well, where's our Samoan writers? You know, we hear often other stories of Samoan writing had started in the 1970s with, you know, Albert Wendt. And while that's incredible, you know, while we pay tribute to that incredible legacy in English, you know, prior to that, and Albert Wendt acknowledges this himself, he was raised in the whaaloalo that his grandmother and his grandparents had been teaching him, you know. So all these traditions of whaaloalo or English literature traditions, whole generations of people were raised, including Albert Wendt. So I don't want to speak for the amazing Albert Wendt, but it's an indication of the origins of our stories, not the origins, I'm sorry, the kind of literature that was produced, the rich literature that was produced at this particular period of time, late 19th century to the early 20th century. Yeah,
That's amazing to hear this wonder, because I was talking to a colleague, a news editor, we were talking about, the recorded history of our stories from the Pacific that date back to the period that you were talking about. And there wouldn't have been researchers or academics dedicated specifically to this it would have had to have just been generated for the love of history. And I guess, you know, this is what you're touching on. And for you, why? Why is history so important? Why do we need to know this?
I think history ultimately is about making sense of who we are. It's making sense of the legacies that we've inherited from our forebears. And so for me, history, you know, has always been about contests. It's always been about what are the stories that we are told and we feed ourselves. And these are often stories that have been written by people who are not from the Pacific, right? And so we see these really unequal measures and balances of history that tell us stories that we've never even been part of in terms of its production and its dissemination. And so history for me is an opportunity. History means to me is an opportunity to contest the main narratives that we've already heard about, and also to center, more importantly, to center our stories so that we are authorities of our own knowledges, not being told by others about who we are and what we do or don't do, you know. So, you know, and I also, for me, as a Pacific and Indigenous studies researcher, I'm really interested in, yeah, putting our researchers into positions where we can tell our own stories. You know, and I was very fortunate to have been given that opportunity by Professor Alistair Kuna Somerville, and it's important for me also to do the same for, you know, people in my community, including people in part of the research, because our knowledges have always been shared, our knowledges have always been co-produced, and so this is part of the responsibilities as a Pacific Indigenous researcher and who's doing history, who's doing archival history. Historical research is to repatriate a lot of that, to center, repatriate, and to let people know that, you know, contrary to what some of the governments tell us, we actually come from a significantly literate community. Right. You know, we come from ancestors who were writing and were well versed in their own oral histories, but also people were learning about the histories of others, you know. And you know, it's remarkable to understand, even to think about a little old lady, a Te Nau Tamar, who's in the remote villages in the late 19th century, early 20th century, who are reading Suru texts and are well-versed in the works of Shakespeare, Tolstoy, you know, the Odyssey, Homer. You know, these are people who haven't even left the villages, yet they're literary education has been this multilingual, you know, well-versed repertoire of literary histories. And we don't remember that. Instead, we have policies that address, you know, that see a lot of our Pacific students who don't read, who don't come from those cultures. So history for me is about reconciling the past and centering our own stories and telling our own stories of innovation, of excitement, of intellectual inheritances that we've inherited and forget that we have.
And you've touched on it because there's so much said about our oratory history. But like you've said, you're touching on, you know, the literary that goes back. And for you, for your journey, what did you discover about yourself and going through this research?
What I've discovered about myself is my responsibilities. My responsibilities to this knowledge, to the people who have written this knowledge, and the people who are needing this knowledge, who are wanting this knowledge. And so contrary to possibly, you know, the protocols in academia where one kind of extracts knowledge and guards it protectively as their own, this project has taught me things that I've already known about reciprocity, about generosity, about co-production of knowledges, about sharing and disseminating and bringing people to the table to add their voices to this really rich conversation. So a little bit of what I've been hearing about the project itself, I knew that this was valuable. I knew this paper was valuable because I myself read it as a child. You know, I read all these English fables. I was really interested in, you know, these Greek stories. But I also knew in the paper itself had all these different genres. They had, you know, children's whamong, or they had just a wealth of travel reports, ethnographies, just a variety of incredible writing, including obituaries. And so I always knew some scientific information as well that were recorded, because people who wrote in this paper were not just Samoan. They were actually Niueans, Cook Islanders, Te Reo, Tuvalu people who were actually writing in Samoa. So that's a kind of another layer of sophistication and cosmopolitan regionalism that we don't tend to think about. Is it wasn't just the colonial languages we were talking about, we were exchanging in. We all actually knew, because we're whakawhanaungatanga, we draw lineages and mafa to each other. We also had a commonality in terms of coming together to produce something. And the sort of Samoa for me represents that. It's the center and hive of writers from the Pacific who were trained in the theological colleges, were trained in the missionary colleges and the missionary schools in Samoa, because Samoa was the base of the London Mission Society network. It received young 12-year-olds from Te Reo to Rivalu. And so we're all trained in Samoa and Greek and Hebrew as part of theological training, but also the German, depending on who the colonial powers were at that time. They learnt German, they learnt English. And so on top of their own mangana, and on top of that, Samoa itself. So I've lost myself in the question, but so it's this incredible wealth of writers who are producing this knowledge. And I guess to go back to your question about what have I learned about myself, is I've learned that I'm an insignificant number of people who are doing this work. And what that means is I'm part of this multilingual, intellectual ngafa of people who are doing work in the Sulu. And so as my responsible duty is to the next generation, is to open the door up and say, hey, kiddo, shouldn't say kiddo, hey, would you like to come and have a look, see if you can find anything that tells your stories, tell your family stories, opens up the opportunities for you to give an alternative view on this topic. And so this has always been a bit of a community research project to me. And so I've shared a lot of what I've found, things that I think in my limited time, of course, what I think is important. And for example, a more recent post has been about the Kalina Samoa, the Kalina Samoa Whamasina. So it's the Samoan traditional calendar. It's a 13-month-based calendar that traces the migratory patterns of birds and fish, the calendar that tells you which crop to plant at this particular time. And so it's this incredible wealth of indigenous knowledge. It's likened to maramataka for Te Ao Māori, you know, Mataronga Māori. It's this 13-month calendar of, okay, so this is the season that the law is coming, which is a fish in Samoa. So this is what you need to do. Next 2 months is a month where you to ufi, which is, you know, crops in Samoa, you know, the root crops in Samoa. So it gives you, these are really important archival knowledge, right? Because it tells us about our own seasons, our own meat systems, our own measuring units that is often lost because we've privileged the Greek and Roman calendar, you know? We're privileged the 12-month calendar that tell us absolutely nothing aside from what the Balinese value as part of seasons. Whereas our calendar is this wealth of important information about science, about the ecosystems, about religious practices that have been involved in the cultivation of these crops and the fish. And so what I'm really interested in is, why was that in the Sulu? So the Sulu is this Protestant paper. In fact, it reflects that Samoan people at that time had just accepted Christianity as such. It was a hive of these wrangling, this ideological wranglings with, okay, it's another religion, we can incorporate that in. So it really reflects the innovation of Samoa in terms of these different cross-disciplinary practices, you know. And yeah, and it's for me, to go back to your question, what have I found out about myself is I've found out that I'm one of many people who has dealt with a soro, and with that comes responsibility to do it properly. It comes with accountability to make sure that the social linguistic aspect of the project has the verification and approval of different specialists, and also duty to include my own kids, you know, other researchers as well, so that you can continue this work for multiple of generations. It's 181 years going, and I'm sure it's got another 181 years of reproduction of these incredible stories and knowledges.
And Wanda, just like hearing the passion that's coming through, you must be encouraged to see more Pacific researchers, or some more researchers coming through the ranks. Are you seeing that happening?
Yeah, so there's a lot of amazing work that's actually happening, you know, in terms of linguistics. Sadat down in Victoria is a big plug for this. Sadat and his book about Laoma Samoa, which is being released as well, I think, next week. There's incredible legacies of the work of Professor Fanafele Letangaloa Ayono, who's been doing this work for setting up the first Indigenous university in Samoa. She's been doing this work for 50, 60 years, and her children are also doing it as well. You know, so there's a resurgence in the arts in terms of our missing cultures. So that's all happening. Really exciting. The university in Samoa is doing some incredible work as well. And so in New Zealand universities, I'd really like us to think about, while the Vaiasoro Ngan Samoa is really important, right? You know, we're celebrating languages. I really would encourage researchers to really think critically about the role of Ngana Samoa in our academic work. So Ngana Samoa, of course, is, you know, is a cornerstone in our whaurenga, our whasinamanga, but also it's an intellectual inheritance, like I've been saying, that provides key pathways into our different worlds. And a lot of those worlds are scientific, they're theological, they're religious. So I really would like people to really consider the Ngana Samoa as a pathway into those worlds, not as just an important part of our daily conversations.
And you've touched on a really important topic there about how we keep our history alive, how we keep the knowledge, the strands continuing way past, like you were saying, past 100 plus years. For you, just this journey, the research that's required, what's the next steps for you in terms of, sharing this knowledge with the rest of the world?
Yeah. I think there's still a lot to be done with this newspaper. I think in terms of sharing what I've been doing as part of my PhD research, and my priority is to finish the PhD and to finish writing it, is to officially build a system where this newspaper can be repatriated back. I've spent the last 2 years collating extant copies of the newspaper. So I've got the biggest collection of probably close to 400 issues. I spent a considerable part of that translating some of the articles that are really interesting to me. I've been sharing it with people in my community. I think the next shift of the project after the PhD is to then repatriate the work. And so that's looking at allies. And so I've been doing a bit of work with the Auckland Museum, their incredible Aftamaestia Leone Samu, as well as Paula Hegel there. To really think about the kind of post-custodial relationships or approaches that are needed to be done by my museums in terms of repatriating a lot of our stuff to our people. So I think the next shift in my project is to really think about what other newspapers are out there, what other Indigenous language newspapers, and I've already started some of that work looking into Tuvalu newspaper. So if anyone's really interested, and this is an appeal to any Tuvalu researchers to really think about other newspapers that your Indigenous language newspapers to be centered, our stories to be not so much validated, because we validate on a daily basis, but to form the focus of our daily conversations. And so part of ensuring that the histories in the newspapers are safeguarded and repatriated is a big massive collective approach. And that starts from museum and library collections down to the home, in which we have the opportunity when we're reading the newspaper, when we're reading the Tuspa'ia, as we do on a daily basis, because that seems to be the primary source of our Mana Samoa, right? Is the standard news, the Tuspa'ia, which is important. But to also add other texts as part of that family ritual, which will include an article in Samoa. What does this article mean? You know, and as my daughter has identified, you know, I've included a part of the story, and she was blown away by finding her namesake, you know, her great-grandmother, whom she's named after, her writing in the Sulu about two children, which includes her. So these are places, archives are places where generations are meeting, you know. They're finding a word, they're finally recognizing a name. And that's our mamana, as Litara said, that's our mamana too. As she says, it's an invitation for us to engage on what those pivotal points are, even in a name that's an archive, right? A name is a reflection of our histories. You know, we know that whenever there's an incident in Samoa, someone's named, you know. How many Apolos do we know in the 1960s when the Apollo spaceship went to the moon? You know, those practices of archiving, the practice of our Indigenous names also carry with them these incredible stories. And I think the Ngana Samoa, in terms of revitalizing, reviving it for people who are new to, who are on their learning journeys, even if you just recognize one or two names or one or two words, that's more than enough to engage with your intellectual inheritance.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, Wanda, realizing just, you know, I'm in the business of telling stories or sharing stories, but you have just opened up a whole new galaxy of information, and something that we really need to, you know, hold dear to us. In your opinion, what would you say to someone like me? And I will say this, you know, not in any condescending way, I'm uneducated in this area. New Zealand born, who knew about, you know, I know about my Samoan, you know, history with my parents, but not really enough. What would you say to us in learning about Ole Sulu, the Samoa, diving back into our history? What would you say?
I think not to be scared. I think, you know, we all are afflicted with a kind of tendency to think that we're not good enough. You know, we're not good enough Samoans, we're not good enough this or that. But, you know, by actually centering our ngana and our voices, you know, we actually understand that that's ours, whether we people say it is or isn't. You know what I mean? The Sulu Samoa for me is one of many newspapers, but it is, you know, it's a site where people are also struggling with different writing traditions, with different languages. Now, like I said, you know, people in the Sulu were multilingual. And I know that's a really high level to think about, but they too were in a position where they thought, well, how can I deal with that German text? Does anyone know what that Hebrew text means? Or, you know, what does that mean in German? So I guess what I'm trying to say in a very convoluted way is it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to be scared with the ngana. But you've got to understand that it is your inheritance. And whether you understand a sentence, a word, a whole paragraph, you know, they shouldn't stop you from trying, because that is your whātsina mama, that's your whālupinga. The other thing that I've learned about my comprehension of Samoa is, you know, I'm not a linguist, you know, so I'm not a specialist in Samoan mana. But someone has to do this work, right? You know, and so doing this work is actually being humble to the task, as my professor Alistair Puna Samabul says, you've got to be humble enough to know that you're not the authority on this. You will never probably be an authority on it. You're just the leading conversationalist in this. And what that means is you open the door for someone else to come and say, okay, well, this is what I think of this. And that is good, because our mana should never, ever be weaponized against one another. Our mana is rich. It's filled with our knowledges, our alofa, our mori alofa, you know, our struggles. It has incredible legacies of tala tu'u, you know, tala whaso pito, sa mōmala langi atoa. But it's a site where everyone has struggled. And I think that's what I'd like to share with people who are a little bit uncomfortable about learning Samoan. It's just go ahead and do it, you know. Do it. It is your intellectual inheritance. Do it. You know, you'll be amazed on, you might even find an ancestor or two in there and be really humbled by their attempts and their efforts to really start conversations and invite you to these conversations. So our ancestors have been doing this. They've also been fraught with similar, I guess, senses of doubt. But at the other side of that is the bravery and the courage that they equip them to actually do it, because we're here now 181 years later, talking about it and enjoying it and understanding that we come from these literary rich cultures, you know, not on the receiving end of, you know, the worsening statistics in whichever country we are, which other people like to talk about. Yeah, so be brave. This is your intellectual inheritance. Pick a word, pick a name, and just go with it. Incorporate in part of your daily conversations with your ahinga, with your cousins. Tweet, TikTok, you know, one word is that one step further into your Samoan worlds.
Thanks for listening. Visit our website at www.pasifikawire.com. We welcome you to like us on Facebook, LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can listen to the full podcast on Spotify. Whaafatai, mai amanuia.
Planet FM 104.6 PW Live right here on a Saturday afternoon. It's 25 minutes to 6, and I do hope you are enjoying your afternoon. And thanks for tuning in with us here with you just for a little bit longer. And like we said, that was from our Season 3. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Season 3 in 2022 with a wonderful academic. And again, sitting here listening, learning so much about the work that Wanda continues to do. And so she's, like we said beforehand, she's going to be speaking down in Dunedin.
Yes, so on Friday, next Friday the 22nd, Wanda will be sharing a presentation of her doctoral research in Pacific Studies. Yeah.
That's all. And when's that happening again?
So that's next Friday, 22nd of August, at the Richardson South Tower. But we have just posted more information on our Facebook. So if you look us up, Pasifika Wire, on Facebook, all the information is there. So, yeah, hopefully more and more people will be heading along.
Absolutely. Go South Island. Well, that's your old stomping ground too, isn't it? You spent time down in Otago.
Yes. Love it.
You loved the way your parents went there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of their alma mater at Otago University. But that's for another day, isn't it? But thank you so much for tuning in. We'll take a bit of a break. Here's some music from the Kingdom of Tonga. It's The Servants, C.E. Lolo. This is Planet FM 104.6 on PW Live, connecting our voices.
Oh,
Planet
FM 104.6 on a Saturday afternoon with the servants and Si'i Lolo, music from the Kingdom of Tonga. And I do hope you are enjoying your Saturday. It's a little bit wet out there, so if you're out and about, please do take care, drive to those conditions and wrap up nice and warm. And also be aware, power outages. You experienced one today, didn't you, Us?
Yes, out in Glen Eden, there's a large power outage, so hopefully everyone is getting their power back.
It's like, that would help. Yeah, hey, that would help. So yeah, and of course you can go on, well, if you're able to go online, check out Vector, depending on what your power sources. But with this weather, it's been a bit crazy, I got to say. But not here, not in the world of Planet FM. And make sure you stay tuned right here. That's us for another weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. And also, we encourage you to check us out online. So, what are our details?
Yeah, so on Facebook, Pacifica Wire. We are on Facebook, on Instagram, same name, Spotify, YouTube. Check us out. Listen to our previous episodes. Yeah.
Just push, you know, just push play or whatever that is. So, yeah, but we really appreciate the chance to share our content with you and connecting our voices, because that is what we're all about. Now, we'll be back next Saturday with, fingers crossed, a special guest live in the studio. We're not going to tell you who that is because we don't know. So that's part of the magic. But you never know. All right, we're saying goodbye. Take care, everyone. We're leaving you with a bit of Brenda Fussy on a Saturday. Thanks, Issa.
Thank you.
We've enjoyed our time.
Yeah.
It's Planet FM 104.6, PW Live, connecting our voices.
We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. The style, Pacifica Wire. Lifting every voice higher. Stories told side by side, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather. United we inspire. PacificaWire.com. Because